Was it?
Okay.
Better. It'll be several days before I'm back in my room.
I'm going to go ahead and gavel us in, even though not everybody's had a chance to join us yet. We'll have an opportunity to get some information on the record, and I'm sure some of the other members will be joining us as they are able. I know that Senator Johnson is testifying in another room, and it's that time of year where I wouldn't be surprised if half the committee are testifying in other rooms. So today is February 12, 2015, and this is the Subcommittee on Transportation and Economic Development. I'm Representative David Gomberg, acting as co-chair and wielding the gavel today. And joining us, I think, for the first time here at the dais, Ms. Nabrucka is going to be working this afternoon with us. And Ms. Nabrucka, if you could give us a quick introduction of what we're going to be dealing with.
I would be happy to. So good afternoon, Co-Chair Gomberg and members of the subcommittee. I'm Julie Nabrucka from Legislative Fiscal. Today we'll be hearing from the Department of Aviation. In OLIS, you'll find the LFO agency overview, the department's presentation, and the chief financial office's presentation. We'll hear from Mitch Swecker, the department's director, and then from Tamara Brickman, the CFO analyst. Also, just as a note, you all should have received an email last night from ODOT's budget manager providing answers to questions that you all had at last Thursday's subcommittee meeting. We posted that information in OLIS under last Thursday's meeting. So I took the extra step of asking ODOT to email it to you so that you didn't miss it since we didn't post it to a past meeting.
Any questions from the committee members before I start the public hearing? All right, we're good to go. I'll go ahead and open the public hearing on HB 5004, the Department of Aviation, and come on up and please go ahead and introduce yourself for the record and tell us where you'd like to fly.
That's good.
Chair Gomberg, members of the committee, my name is Mitch Swecker. I'm the director of the Oregon Department of Aviation, and
Chair Gomberg, members of the committee, for the record, Tamara Brickman with the Department of Administrative Services Chief Financial Office.
Please.
So this is an overview of our department, and I'm going to apologize up front. I'm a little bit under the weather, so I'm hoping I'm not sneezing and coughing too much for you here.
And if he does, I might move to the next chair.
So our mission, Oregon Department of Aviation, independent agency, staff of 12.25, and we serve a threefold focus on economic growth, infrastructure improvements, safe operations of aviation in the state. Under the governor's 10-year plan, we were slotted primarily to economic growth and innovation, as well as safety. So our goals, using the format for these presentations, is we really want to see a very strong system of airports in the state, statewide transportation via commercial, charter, and business, cargo, FedEx, UPS, UPS, strong commerce. We know that there are over 400 businesses in the state that have aviation in their product line. And then support to local communities. You've heard of the proverbial $100 hamburger, where you fly to an airport, you stop, you have lunch, sometimes you stay in a hotel, but you provide economic revenue to those local communities. And then we also, a lot of the airports, not necessarily commercially viable or sustainable, but they're great medevac assets in firefighting. A number of our state-owned airports have been used for firefighting over the past couple of years. Last firefighting season, we had about five or six at one time, all being used, previous season the same way. And then we'd like to see a thriving aviation industry and thriving pilot community. And from a historical perspective, this agency's been around since 1921. It predates the FAA. We actually used to issue pilots' licenses and make sure aircraft were safe for flight. And then the FAA came along as the Civil Aeronautics Authority in 1938, but it officially didn't become the FAA until 1958. So this agency has had a big hand in establishing the system of airports in the state. So some of our programs, I'll start with Operations Division, which consists of these four service areas, statewide services, so my position, some of the administrative staff, and then the State Airports Division that operates those 28 airports that the state owns, 12 of which are federally funded. We have about 300 leases. That division also licenses and inspects 97 public use airports on behalf of the FAA, including our own. Of those 97 public use airports, 55 of them are what's called NIPIAS airports, National Plan of Integrated Airport System, and that means that they're federally funded or eligible for federal funds. There's actually 57 in the state. Two of them don't take federal funds. That's Sun River and Sportsman Air Park up near Newburgh. We, of those 55 federally funded airports, the state, our agency, operates 12 of them. And then we also register airports. We don't license them, the private airports, but there are a number of ag strips, over 360 in the state, and we actually register them annually to establish the record of their existence. Airport maintenance does the maintenance on those 28 state-owned airports. We have a staff of 1.25 to do that with. And in the planning division, we do construction projects for the 12 federally funded airports that we own and operate. And then we actually have what's called a statewide capital improvements program, which is a pilot started by the FAA between Idaho, Washington, and Oregon. And it's it gives the state a bigger hand in how the projects are prioritized and how they're funded in the state. So we work and have one dedicated employee who's 90% funded by the FAA, who actually liaisons between the FAA and the 49 non-commercial federally funded airports in the state. We also coordinate with counties on land use related to airports under OAR 660, and then tall structures evaluations for the safety of airports. We're mandated in statute to evaluate tall structures around the state as they affect airports. Already mentioned we do the 12 capital improvements and the SCIP program, so I'll step on from there. Our other programs are a pavement maintenance program, which we do statewide. It was started in 1999, and that program actually establishes a fund to help the 66 paved airports in the state with maintaining their airports. And we put roughly $1 million per year, almost $2 million per biennium, into helping those airports. We do about a third of the state per year. We also have what's called GA entitlement program. And for those 12 federally funded airports that we own and operate, we actually, that don't constitute capital improvements, they're less than $1 million. So projects such as removing trees or putting up fencing that are less than $1 million or doing a master plan for an airport, those would fall under that category of GA entitlements. For the federally funded airports, non-primary entitlement entitles each of the airports that are federally funded to $150,000 per year, provided you have projects to do. And that money is good for up to 4 years. And that's not just our 12, but the 49 others that are non-primary in the state. So our liaison guy between the FAA and those other airports actually helps to make sure that that airport gets spent. It doesn't go back to the FAA after 4 years. It could go back to the FAA. We don't want to see that happen, so he helps to keep track of that money and make sure that it stays in the state and gets spent and develops infrastructure and economic development in the state. We also have capital projects. In 15-17, we're going to be doing two, one at Condon and one at McDermott. I'll talk about those a little bit more. And aircraft registration, we register aircraft in the state at varying rates. And the money, the revenue from that is used for our 10% grant match. When the FAA funds projects, they fund it at 90%. We're required to pay 10%. So we use the aircraft registration dollars that are paid by pilots in the state to pay our 10% grant match. And then pilot registration, we register pilots in the state as well, 4,000 plus. And when we do that, we register them at $12 per year. And that money goes to staff partially staff 0.3 of an FTE, partially staff a position in our agency, plus some administrative costs, and the remainder of it goes to Oregon Emergency Management for their search and rescue position, and it reimburses search and rescue units for the fuel that they use if they're aviation-related units. This is a map of the 28 state-owned airports and where they're located. You'll notice they're all over the state and kind of almost evenly distributed. There are some other airports that are not state-owned that make up for that distribution, especially along the coast. This is our organization right now. I said we were at 12.25. We have one seasonal maintenance employee that we are in the process of hiring right now. There are myself, three managers, the planning projects manager, state airports manager for the 28 airports, and the business manager who's behind me right here, Joy Howard. And she helps to keep our agency administratively functioning with rulemaking, legislation, budget, and other assorted things, and manages the pilot and aircraft registration program. How do we deliver service? We maintain the 28 airports not for our use, but for the public's use. Firefighting, medevac, law enforcement, emergency management, recreation. We also have a statewide capital improvements program where we actually provide some expertise around the state where some cities, counties, and ports that don't have dedicated airport managers, we have enough expertise within the agency we can actually help them with their grant management for FAA grants. FAA grants come with 39 grant assurances, things that we have to comply with when we're working with that. And then we also inspect the airports, mentioned that earlier. And then we have a 7-member policy board appointed by the governor, aviation board, that is also the modal committee for Connect Oregon. So the aviation modal committee, they rack and stack the projects from the aviation mode. And then we've provided some support to the UAS industry, which is up and coming nationally as well as in the state. You may know that there are Oregon teamed with Alaska to become part of the 6 FAA test sites under the FAA reauthorization bill from 2012. And those test sites are located at Tillamook, Warm Springs, and out at Pendleton. What we've come to find out is there's close to 200 companies that work with UAVs in the state already, and the business is barely off the ground. Our key performance measures, I'll go through very quickly here. We have 6 that are either static or have improved, and we have 2 that are not. I have to tell you, I've transposed some numbers here so that the runway pavement in good or better condition should be up in the improving, and the runways meeting or exceeding approach surface standards should have been in the declining, so I apologize for the error. So individually here, runway pavement condition, we do a pavement evaluation program so we can actually track the paved airports in the state as part of the PMP program that is 90% funded by the FAA. So 1 year we'll go out and we'll evaluate a third of the state. We'll determine the condition of the pavement using a fairly meticulous computer-based program. So we know with pretty good reliability what the status of the runways in the state are. So you can see between 2013 and 2014, it's gone up a little bit. We've done 4 runway renovations ourselves in the past 4 years. So we have done our share, I guess, to make sure that some of those runways conditions have improved. This is one of those that's declined slightly. It's runways that meet or exceed approach standards. Any airport, you want to have at least a 20-to-1 glide slope into the airport. That's kind of a natural rate of climb and descent. So the FAA standard is 20-to-1. We want to see them all get there. And we lost a little ground between 13 and 14, partially because the non-federally funded airports, we do very little work on those and very few people do. So if it's not federally funded, there's very little work to remove trees and obstructions around those airports. Airport inspections, I mentioned that we do inspections of the 97 public use airports about a third per year on behalf of the FAA. We also, on our 28 airports, mandate that they get at least a quarterly inspection by our staff. They're all over the state, so we want to make sure we're not omitting or making sure we're getting out to them and making sure that they're safe. We also have a huge volunteer cadre, about 20-something people, that work with us, and they're our eyes and ears Oregon Pilots Association is largely responsible for that, and they actually go out and report back and do some small projects for us at those, some of those airports. But they definitely keep their eyes and ears on the airports to make sure that they're safe. We get federal funds. We try to make sure that we obligate every dollar that's allocated to us so that we don't waste it, and it provides the infrastructure improvements that are necessary, so we don't waste the opportunity to get revenue in the state and use it wisely. We do a customer satisfaction survey, about 75%. I'd like to see it be higher. A lot of people don't have any contact with our agency. We survey all the pilots, all the aircraft, or most of the aircraft owners, a representative sample of aircraft owners. And if they don't know us, all they see is our handout asking for dollars, and sometimes that's not a good thing. Aircraft registration, the numbers have stayed fairly constant. We're pretty aggressive about our registration for both pilots and aircraft, and we're more successful with aircraft, I think, because there's a different model for who owns aircraft now. It's less the guy that flies a Cessna 172 and more the corporate type aircraft here. So higher end aircraft, more and more. We actually get more revenue from those anyway, and I'll talk about that some more too. Where we're not doing as well is with the pilot registrations, and there's a number of reasons for that. One, it's an aging population for the most part. Flying is an expensive sport. It's time consuming. When you're young, establishing a family, a lot of people don't have the time, the money, the resources to become pilots. So we're not seeing as many younger pilots, and we're seeing the aging population of pilots is starting to age out. Best practices for our board, there's a questionnaire that goes out. It's been consistent for this. And things like, are we conducting training? And so we've been consistently high on that and just about at our target. So our major budget drivers, for us, not having a huge budget detracts from our ability to do deferred maintenance, especially when it comes to projects that aren't funded by the FAA or for our non-federally funded airports. So we have about $7 million, $6.5 million in deferred maintenance. Plus, we own our building at the Salem Airport. It's been there for a long time. It needs some capital improvements. It needs new HVAC. It needs to get the roof replaced. And if we ever moved out of it, it would revert back to the city of Salem. We don't have to pay any rent before it or anything. So we're very fortunate in that respect, but it's time to put some money into it, money that we really don't have. And then for the deferred maintenance, I've kind of categorized some of this if anybody has an interest in it, and I'm just going to show it briefly here and then move on. If there are no questions. Major budget drivers. This is the revenue. Our main revenue source is avgas and jet fuel, mostly jet fuel. And what I've done here is created a chart that shows you pre-recession dollars and average revenue per month. And then I've got the last two fiscal years. So you can see that prior to the recession, we got roughly $30,000 a month more than we're getting right now. That's a substantial amount in a small agency like ours. And so we've never quite recovered to pre-recession levels. It's gotten a little bit better in this year than last, but we're still kind of skimming across the treetops, to do an aviation term here. Environmental factors for us. There's a change in how the airlines fly, and it directly affects our jet fuel revenue. And I'm going to show you a chart that reflects that. So this is from the Port of Portland, which really is about 95% of the jet fuel revenue of the state. So prior to the recession, the green here is the number of operations, and the blue is the number of passengers. So you can see when the recession hit, and then you see in the recovery here, and this red line is our revenue, our actual revenue. So after the recovery, you can see at first they got a recovery in operations and passengers, but then you see that the recovery was mostly in passengers. Planes are flying more in a more full status. They're more efficient, and the way that they fly now with what they call the next generation of aviation with GPS, you fly direct routes instead of zigzagging across on your routes. And they're using a procedure where you chop up throttles at altitude and you fly right down to the runway without ever adding power, not stair-stepping down like these do. That's a lot more fuel efficient. So they're becoming more fuel efficient with their aircraft. They're operating with much more crowded aircraft. And in 2014, you can see, we never recovered from the recession fully, but it's on a slight uptick in 2014. I mentioned the deterioration of non-federally funded airports, obstructions. I'm going to show you a picture of Crescent Lake Airport, which we've had to close because that little lip right there is about 4, 5, 6 inches, depending on where you measure it. And it's not safe for fixed-wing aircraft. They could catch a main mount. They could catch a prop. So we've had to close that airport. I'd like to be able to take it and grind it up. It costs about $2 million to replace the runway. We don't have that. But we might be able to come up with, if we have a sufficient revenue, to at least grind that asphalt up and make it into a kind of a gravel runway, which would please some of the recreational flyers and some of the emergency folks. I mentioned the change in pilot population, aging out, cost of fuel, time to train, all things that make it tough. And then a lot of pilots that come here are transient. Hillsborough Aviation, for example, trains a lot of Asian pilots. So they come in, they register, they're very good about registering, and then when they leave, we never hear from them again. They don't renew their registrations. And then the increase in UASs, the recreational numbers, is going to be an increase in public use ones. There has not yet been much commercial activity legally because the FAA hasn't allowed it yet. They've allowed some what they call 333 exceptions, but that's a growth industry across the country. Other major program changes it asked for in the past 10 years. We transitioned our central services to ODOT from DAS in 2011. That was legislatively mandated. At the time, previous management had not done their budget very well. We ran out of money, and so the central services were moved from DAS into ODOT, and we have had a good working relationship with them ever since. In 2012, the FAA reauthorized the FAA's budget, but they changed the grant match from 5% to 10%, so that's a doubling of the grant match. So, for example, the $2 million runway project that used to cost $100,000 now would cost $200,000 as your 10% grant match. And then we do a pavement maintenance program. The FAA funded a pavement study, and it determined that the pavement maintenance program that we do, on average, extends the life of a runway by 20-plus years. So the life expectancy of a runway in the FAA's world is 20 years. So you're really doing, on average, cost avoidance of one runway renovation, at least, over the course of a 20-year period. And then we have an Oregon Aviation Plan. It was last done in 2007. It's the aviation component of the Oregon Transportation Plan. And we have recently done the economic benefits chapter update funded by the FAA. That was last year. Fairly good news that aviation provides about 73,000 jobs in the state and has an overall impact of almost $22 billion. Now, in 2007, it was $26 billion, so that's a substantial drop, but still significant contribution to the economy. We are going to do updates for chapters 2 and 5, and then in a recent meeting I've had with the FAA, it looks like they're going to fund the entire Oregon Aviation Plan being redone over the next 2 to 3 years. So not just individual chapters, which we were trying to phase it, now they're actually going to allow us to do the entire aviation plan. I mentioned the capital improvements program, statewide capital improvements program, and I think that's been successful. I think we've probably kept $1 million in the state that might have reverted back to the FAA by being able to transfer non-primary entitlements that were about to expire between airports here in the state. There's two other programs that the FAA has for funding in addition to the non-primary entitlements. One's called statewide apportionment, and that would go to maybe some bigger projects. On average, the state gets about $4 plus million for that on an annual basis. And then they have discretionary money, too, which is primarily going to go to the Port of Portland's and the commercial service airports, but there may be some revenue available, FAA money available to do projects in a slightly larger amount, so maybe up to $6 or $7 or $8 million for GA airports. Under new programs, the biggest one under House Bill 2710 from the last full session, we legislated unmanned aerial systems, drones, and one of the requirements was for us to do a report to the legislature on the status of federal regulation and a recommendation on whether we should register not just public use ones, which were mandated by House Bill 2710, but should we register private ones, which would include recreational and commercial. I mentioned to date there haven't been any commercial ones. The recreational field is pretty wide open. Anybody can fly one. They can go to the Verizon store or even Fred Meyer's and buy them, and they've got very nice cameras on them. They can do what they want with them. The FAA's starting to crack down on that, but they still haven't authorized very much of the commercial operations at all, unless they have those 333 exceptions. Effects of changes on service delivery. We had an aircraft before I got to the agency. It was sold in 2007. And then we had a leased aircraft when I first got to the agency in 2008. It was done away with when we had our financial bumps. And later on in 2010, because of those financial bumps, we laid off employees here, 17 down to 12.25. Also reduced spending on maintenance. We do the minimum at our non-NPS airports. We do what we can, as much as we can. And then our board travel used to go all around the state. We've done a lot less of that recently and mostly done our meetings in Portland. So our outreach from the board and for education on aviation and assistance has been reduced somewhat. And then last year, because we had gone to ODOT for our central services, I asked them to do a study of our staffing. They did. They made some recommendations to us. I incorporated those, which I'll talk about a little bit more, and it made our staff, I think, more efficient. I already mentioned the FAA funded updates to the Oregon Aviation Plan. Actions to contain costs, improve programs and services. We've aligned with other agencies, most particularly with Business Oregon. In particular, about 3 years ago, we sponsored two conferences, one a year apart at McMinnville, to establish an aviation industry cluster. And the good news is this year they have their own board of directors. It doesn't take state sponsorship, and they're up and running on their own. So there is an aviation industry cluster that's active and working in the state and does a pretty good job. We also work with Regional Solutions team on the UAS industry. We work with them. There are only six commercial air service airports in the state. In the Klamath Falls most recently lost commercial air service. We'd like to be able to help with that situation. It's something we've worked on in the past. I'm actually going to go to an air service conference in early March and at least hear what's going on. The reason that we're not getting the level of air service that we might like is because the airlines are changing their model of how they do that. They're going to bigger aircraft. They're not serving the smaller communities as much anymore. They're actually looking at going to up to 70 seats, to fill. And the non-subsidized air service to small rural communities is getting harder to get, not easier to get. SCAP program, central services provided by ODOT. We have a policy option package to increase fees. We have very little ability to generate additional revenue. One area we do is aircraft registration fees, pilot registration fees, and airport registration fees. So we have a policy option package to do that. Major budget, I mentioned the fees. Construction projects, we have policy option packages for that. The first one's for GA entitlement, and I just wanted to give you an idea of the projects that don't rise to the level of capital projects. So our plans are right now to do a master plan at Lebanon, obstruction removal at Molino. We may have to do a master plan there first, and then additional obstruction removal at Aurora, fencing at Chiloquin, master plan at Independence, obstruction removal, Phase 2 at Aurora, land acquisition at Bandon, and we have very little land down there. There's a some through-the-fence things there that we think we would benefit from having on our property. And then Chiloquin needs a rehab at their at the ramp, and we're looking at fencing and design and Independence fencing, design for fencing. If there are no other questions on that, I'll move on to other policy option packages. We have two capital construction projects. One is a taxiway improvement and drainage project at Condon State Airport. It'll come to a total of about $2.2 million. Our other funds share that after phase one, and phase two will be about $226,000, and the federal fair share of that will be about $2 million. At McDermott, furthest south and east in the state, the lighting there is failing on a regular basis. It's buried without conduit, and so we need to replace the lighting out there and the runway. So we're looking at about a $2 million project there to replace lighting and new runway renovation out there. I wanted to give you an idea of what our projects or budget looks like in all of our service areas here. So spending here, looking at operations, other funds, operations, federal funds, and search and rescue, general aviation entitlements, and where we stand for 2015 compared to our previous bienniums. You can see under capital construction that we're a little bit ambitious doing two capital projects in this biennium. Our revenues over the past four bienniums have remained fairly constant in the most recent thing. Operations is the area where we most are at risk for revenue reductions. That's the area that keeps me up at night, making sure we have sufficient revenue. That's the area where we got in trouble before I was the director. These are the proposed fee increases. This is for aircraft registration. After our current revenue is about $555,000. If we are to get this projected fee increase, it would go up to about $714,000. Pilot registration, $12 per person. This majority would go to OEM, other than a little bit of administrative cost for us, and we would help to offset the cost of their search and rescue position, as well as reimburse the cost of fuel. Public airport fees has been $30 a year for all 97, or actually all of the public use airports in the state. We'd like to prorate that and make it so that it's, depending on the level of service of the airport, there's a little bit of a ramp up. And then the rural airports would stay relatively small. Proposed legislation for us, obviously 5004, which is the budget bill that we have, and then 5006, which is our capital construction, the capital construction project or bill for the state. We have two projects that I mentioned, Condon and McDermott. And then Senate Bill 269, which is the fee increase bill. We're required to talk about 10% reductions. For us, we are such a small agency, any reductions we take would be vertical in nature. So our recommendation, if we had to take a 10% cut, would be to reduce pavement maintenance program. It's about the only thing that we have that doesn't take away the ability to keep airports open. And we have no long-term vacancies. We are not affected by B 4131, we're an agency of obviously less than 100 with only 12 and a half. And then we had no Secretary of State audits this biennium. Our capital construction projects at McDermott and Condon. This is the status of the realignment that we did last year. We abolished an office specialist and a policy analyst position, reclassified downward a fiscal analyst 3 to a fiscal analyst 2 that enabled us to get a full-time from a half-time fiscal analyst 1. It was a great thing for us, and then it also allowed us to stand up an executive assistant, essentially an administrative person for the agency, which has been a tremendous benefit to us. And then we also had the SCIP planner position, the statewide capital improvements planner position, that was an LD. In the last session, it was given to us as a full-time position. And then we have a seasonal maintenance worker that we're going to hire. That's the sum of our 12.25 staff. And then this is our ending balance here, operations here. And we should have a minimum of $545,000 at the end of this biennium. I'm hoping that it's higher towards the end of 2015 and 17. And then search and rescue is relatively stable. GA entitlement should be zeroed out. That is transferred to our 10% grant match. So it should be zero as an ending balance. And then payment maintenance program, we're showing a revised ending balance this year of almost $984,000. We're going to be a little bit more aggressive with our payment maintenance program in the next biennium, so we don't have a high ending balance there. And then aircraft registration is the revenue source for our grant matches, federal grant matches. And in the budgeting world, our current ending balance will be about $335,000. The ending balance projected before fee increases for our projects is a negative $42,000. I actually think with fee increases it would go up. I actually think we're going to have an ending balance that's going to be closer to $259,000 because we haven't done a couple of projects in 13-15 that should lead us to a higher ending balance both in 13-15 and 15-17. One of those is at Aurora State Airport. We were going to do a ramp up there, redo the ramp. And when we went to bid, the bids came in too high, so we postponed the project. So subject to any questions, that concludes my presentation.
Well, thank you, Mr. Swecker. And can I get you to scroll back to page 7 for us for just a moment?
Mr. Chair.
And the reason I went back to this, because I thought some of our guests in the audience might find this slide in particular of interest. We have with us today, if I'm not mistaken, this year's AOC County College class. And we, of course, are discussing today the Oregon Department of Aviation. As I'm sure you understand, this is one of several subcommittees of the Ways and Means Committee, joint committees made up of both senators and representatives, our committee dealing with transportation and economic development. So over the course of the last few days, we have heard from the Racing Commission, the Real Estate Division, and today Aviation, but the better part of next week, we'll be talking about OLCC. So the department has just finished a scintillating presentation, and we moved to the question period, and I'd ask if anybody up here does have any questions. Yes, let's start with Representative Nierman on the end.
Thank you, Chair Goldberg. So I'm kind of intrigued, and you kind of glossed over this really quickly, Mr. Swecker. You talked about at the Hillsborough Airport, you have a bunch of Asian pilots who pay a registration fee and then assume they leave the country and they don't renew. What are they doing? Are they getting training here? And is there any possible economic development opportunity with that process there?
There is. Hillsborough Aviation has a really big flight school. And they train a lot of students, international students, and they've established a kind of a sub-training base at Prineville. They did work out of Troutdale some. So they're generating revenue in those communities because they're putting those students up in hotels and feeding them and that sort of thing. So there is some economic benefit from that.
Thank you.
Representative Whitson.
I was wondering if you could discuss a little bit the avgas and jet fuel tax, and when was the last time that it was raised, and compare it to the states around us, for example, what Washington pays, California and Nevada.
I can. Co-chairs Gomberg and Johnson, Representative Whitsett. The last time it was raised was 1999 to establish the PMP program. And it was raised by half a cent. Prior to that, it had been half a cent since the early 1950s. So compared to other states, Washington is about I want to say 7 or 8 cents per gallon. Idaho is 7 or 8 cents per gallon. Plus, I believe Washington also has a sales tax. Nationally, Oregon is about 46 out of 50 in fuel tax revenue.
Follow up?
How about California then? So you're saying our tax is 1 cent per gallon, and so Washington, Idaho are 7 to 8 cents, and California, excluding the sales tax.
Excluding the sales tax, I think they're at about 6 or 7 cents per gallon.
Okay.
I have a matrix that I would be happy to provide to the committee if that would be helpful.
California?
That did apply to California.
Okay.
And they also have sales tax.
Senator Johnson, you had a question?
Thank you. Not so much a question as a couple of comments. I'd like to recognize Commissioner Thompson from Clatsop County. Thank you for joining us at the Capitol today. I want to, just in the interest of transparency, say that I'm a registered pilot in Oregon and subject to regulation by the agency, although I haven't been flying much since my accident. And once upon a time, a million years ago, I ran the agency for 5 years, so I was Mr. Schweckert a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Big shoes to fill.
Indeed. Well, I have a question in reviewing your presentation, and we don't need to go back to it, but at the bottom of page 9, something jumped out at me, and that was that you analyze tall structures of safety hazards near airports. Mm-hmm. You analyze them. Tell us a little bit about that.
Chair Gomberg, what we do is we use a computer software using the same algorithms that the FAA uses to establish what's called the imaginary surfaces around airports, the protected areas, safety-wise. So they submit what's called an FAA Form 7460, and they're required by statute to submit them to us as well, and then we would analyze them and independently of the FAA make a determination of whether it would constitute a hazard to that airport or not.
And I presume once you've finished that analysis and you've determined that it is indeed a hazard, something happens after that.
We don't have any teeth, Chair Gomberg. We don't have any teeth in our legislation. All we can do is say that it could be a hazard to aviation. It doesn't stop anybody from building it. We might recommend they mark it or light it, but that's the extent of our ability to provide input.
Senator Johnson?
For the benefit of our county commission colleagues, I would just like to point out to you that you should visit the airports in your jurisdictions. These are key economic drivers in the places where they are. Money comes to airports at a magnificent match rate from the feds, and so there are opportunities to do improvement projects at your airports, and if you saw that map, they're scattered all over the state. The airport is frequently the portal of entry into your jurisdictions, and what goes on out there matters to businesses that are making decisions about locating in your areas. There are commercial service airports that we're struggling to keep a hold of throughout the state and have lost commercial service in a couple of them, notably Klamath Falls, that is also host to the largest. One quarter of the flying F-15 fleet in the world is in Klamath Falls. The two big airports east of the mountains are Redmond, which has been a magnificent economic driver in Central Oregon. It is the portal to Central Oregon. And Pendleton, out in Senator Hansel's neck of the woods, is the commercial service hub of Eastern Oregon. So I would just commend for your consideration visiting your local airport, see what's going on, see the economic opportunities, and I hope that you place a premium value on the possibility that your airport can help drive economic growth wherever you're coming from.
Thank you, Senator. And of course, this map just indicates the state-owned airports. Senator Hansel.
Question I would have, do you have a jurisdiction over like crop dusting runways? How far down do you go in your authority?
Through the co-chairs, we don't regulate the flying of aircraft. That's the FAA's purview. So look, even for noise complaints or something like that, we might communicate with the pilots in those cases. But for violations of safety, generally the FAA would sanction somebody. Is that the gist of your question?
Well, the runway itself, or the airport itself, were they the privately owned ones, I guess? Or do you have any regulation over those?
We help to work with the counties when a new one is being built. Once it's established, then it becomes a county function of whether it changes in how it's used. For example, if they wanted to add additional aircraft or a larger aircraft or have a business, that would be up to the county. We would inspect a site to determine if it was safe to have an airport there, but other than that, we would not get involved in the land use aspect of it.
I just suspect that a whole lot of county commissioners just learned something in that statement right now. Counties are in charge of those airports?
They are in charge of the land use of those airports. The FAA, probably the safety of flight related to them.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Witt.
I think Mr. Chairman, Representative Witzer was in the queue.
All right. Well, I thought she'd already taken one. I was going to give you another shot, but indeed, Representative Witzer, please.
Thank you.
So your fee bill is at Senate Bill 269, then. And could you tell us about how much money that would raise if that bill were to go through, and how that would help our rural airports?
The chairs, Gomberg and Johnson, Representative Whitsett, he would raise about $265,000. That's all of those fees together.
And can you describe how it would be dispersed?
For the pilot registration, the majority of it would go to Oregon Emergency Management for search and rescue. For the aircraft registration, if we did not need it for grant match, I would try to apply it to reopen runways like Crescent Lake, or to apply it to, that's the only legal way we can apply it, to some aspect of maintaining the non-NIPIUS airports that don't get the benefit of capital. It doesn't go very far, $265,000 or some portion of that, but it might help us to do a small thing, like maybe grinding the asphalt at Crescent Lake, or removing some trees at another airport.
Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm looking at the circle on the west end of I-84, and is that Cascade Locks?
Chairs Gomberg, Co-Chairs Gomberg and Johnson, Representative Witt, yes, that's Cascade Locks.
And another?
If I may follow up, the reason I'm asking, because I'm wondering if you rate airstrips according to the difficulty of takeoffs and landings, because if I were unfamiliar with an airstrip, I might assume naively that a state-owned airport was kind of it was an easy run, easy to get into, easy to get out of. And that may be the case, but on a windy day, you better be holding onto that cross real tight. So is there some kind of rating system to warn people that, you know, you might want to have a little caution?
Through the chairs, Representative Witt, that is a varsity airport. It does have some wind shears, wind impacts. It's a short runway. It has trees at both ends. It's what we call a warning airport. We actually put out language to the pilot community that says this is an airport that you have to have a higher performance aircraft that can climb, and you need to be able to take off in a shorter distance. There are a lot of aircraft that can do that. So that's one of the ones that I would say is a pretty varsity airport.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Witt. Although I'd match it against my airport, Pacific City, which is dissected by a main street and has a couple of garages abutting the pavement.
Another varsity airport.
Senator Johnson.
Mr. Chair, for all the levity, it actually touches on a really important point, and that is the responsibility that this agency has in terms of managing all of these airports. The director may have said this while I was out of the room testifying on another bill, but our Department of Aviation predates the creation of the FAA. And we have airports strategically located along the coast that, in recognition of the inclement weather that frequently forced pilots down. We have this system of airports that need to be maintained, and you heard the director say that we're hiring one seasonal maintenance person. Some of these state-owned airports, like Oahe, are very remote, very rugged. A single maintenance person shouldn't be down there alone working on them. Pacific City that has risk issues. And so I hope that in the larger context of being mindful of the state's liability in running airports, that we provide the agency with enough money to discharge the responsibilities that they have to the flying community. And I can tell you, you know this, I used to represent Pacific City before the redistricting took the southern part of Tillamook away. When we discussed closing Pacific City, the outcry of affection for that airport among the flying community is very, very high. And so closing it isn't always an option. We need, as long as it's in the state's portfolio of ownership, we need to take care of these airports. And so I commend for the committee's consideration having adequate resources to minimize our risk and maximize safety for the flying community.
Thank you, Senator. Any other questions for the director? Well, hearing none, Ms. Brickman.
And I'll have you reintroduce yourself
as much for the record as for our guests.
Sure. Chair Gomberg, Co-Chair Johnson, my name is Tamara Brickman. I'm with the Department of Administrative Services Chief Financial Office and assigned to the Department of Aviation's budget for the Governor's Office. And I'm here to talk a little bit about the Governor's budget process and putting together the budget. And I skipped the first slide because it's just a cover slide, but there were two very important issues when we were looking at the Department of Aviation's budget and deciding the funding level, and that is maintaining a sustainable source of revenue for the operations of the agency, because the jet fuel tax, they rely a lot on jet fuel and avgas tax, and that's been very consistently staying at about the same level. And so they had to increase their match for the federal grants from 5% to 10%, and so there was some concern about eating into the operations, because they already have a fairly slim crew at 12.25 FTE to manage all of the airports across the state. And then, of course, I'm concerned about the backlog of deferred maintenance at state-owned airports. And then within the 10-year plan and vision, the Department of Aviation fits within the economy and jobs and safety arena. And there are two issues here that are important for each of those particular outcome areas, and that this budget funds two major construction projects at rural airports, so that does help with the economy and jobs perspective, but it's also a safety issue in making sure that those runways and those airports maintain a level of safety. And then it also provides resources through the fee increase to ensure we can continue operations at the current level and provide the state match for the federal aviation FAA projects that they need to provide the state match on. The next slide just shows you a history, expenditure history of the department, and it's overlaid with FTE at the top, that little dotted line. So in 2011-13, you could see that their budget was just slightly under 8 million. And then with the other funded portion, it being the gray funded, the gray colored portion, about 5.5. And then moving into the 2013-15 legislatively approved budget, we received considerably more federal funds than we had in the past for projects. And I think in part due to the fact that they did hire an individual to come in and plan with the federal government and make sure that we are maintaining the federal administration grants that we are getting and being able to continue to expend them. Revenues, other fund expenditures were up about a million, 1.1 million. And roughly the governor's budget is pretty much a budget that maintains spending at the current level, with just kind of a switch in some of the funding, with the fee increase providing for some additional funds because the jet fuel tax, again, is not staying consistent. This slide here provides you with a little bit of the revenue history for the department. And it can show, and primarily between 2011-13 and the current biennium and then into the next biennium, you can see that jet fuel taxes are just not increasing. As a matter of fact, the anticipated amount for jet fuel tax in the 15-17 biennium is down about 100,000 from the current legislatively approved budget. And so that is where the fee increase comes in and puts in about an additional 200,000 in order to ensure that operations can even maintain an ending balance in case of, in budgeting world, we like to make sure that agencies have sufficient ending balance to, if anything should pop up. And this fee increase basically allows them, by putting it into to the operations, just a little, approximately 6 months of an ending balance, which is not, does not give a significant amount of leeway if something of major significance were to occur in the biennium. And then again, the investments in the governor's budget were the two capital construction projects that the director talked to you about at Condon State Airport and the McDermott State Airport, and then the fee increase in pilot, aircraft, and airport public airport registration fees. And with that, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Yes, Senator Johnson.
This is to either or both of you, and it just now occurred to me. We consolidated search and rescue at OEM a long time ago. There are all search and rescue is done out of the Office of Emergency Management. Aviation had been an outlier, and we brought that into that shop so that there would be consistent dispatch and relationships could be formed to facilitate search and rescue. But there are so few aviation searches. And I'm just wondering whether or not trying to negotiate going to a fee for service in those extraordinary instances, and they can be quite expensive, rather than paying the sort of prophylactic fees that have the function available should it be called on. But I can't think of a large aviation search that was for a downed aviator for a really long time. Aircraft are used in searches. For example, the family that was lost down in southern Oregon, it was a helicopter that found them. But have you explored any kind of different model to dispatch searches for downed aviators other than having the fees that you pay to OEM to be ready should one be called on to do that kind of a search?
Co-chairs Gomberg and Johnson, we have not looked at another model. You mentioned there are relatively few. We actually see gas invoices for about one to two per month. And it may not be that they're searching for an aircraft. It may be an aviation or an aircraft, a county asset that's searching for a lost hiker. But if it was an aviation asset that was used, they can ask for that reimbursement.
It, Mr. Chair, follow up. It raises a larger question and that also involves the military department. And this body, the legislature, has taken up this question previously. But whose responsibility is it to go out and hunt for a lost mushroom hunter? Who bears the financial cost? And when we're turning out military aircraft at thousands of dollars an hour in operating expenses, there might be something to think about there in just looking at, is there a different way to structure the whole search and rescue responsibility? And I don't expect you to have an answer right now, but it just occurred to me, we don't have searches for downed aviators, maybe one every 5 years, a big one. So,
Co-chairs Gomberg and Johnson, I don't have an exact answer. I have some thoughts, and what we see in invoices generally comes from counties. So I imagine the counties, their sheriff's departments, are largely doing some of these searches. And then
with 14 county commissioners staring at the back of your head, this would probably be a bad time to talk about invoices from counties. Anyway, thank you. We'll
I'll stop talking.
Other provocative questions? Well, hearing none, anything else before we close the public hearing? All right. I will conclude the public hearing on House Bill 5004, And Mr. Burka, where are we going next week?
Representative Gomberg, members of the committee, next week you're going on the fascinating journey of OLCC with Michelle Dyson.
The magical mystery tour, Mr. Chair.
Indeed. Yeah, it'll be more interesting than usual.
Yeah.
I think we have 3 days scheduled for OLCC. Is that correct, Madam Co-Chair?
My recollection is we were going to do 1 day on alcohol, 1 day on marijuana, and 1 day for public testimony.
And then toward the end of the week, we were going to start talking about ODOT?
Yes.
All right. Anything else for the good of the order? All right. Then we are adjourned. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.